Hi everyone, how are we? Great, Jonathan's all right, I don't know about anyone else. I'm actually going to start with Jonathan, since he's all right. because as Georgia said, we're reaching the end of our, well, tonight is the end of our Move series, and I wanted to start by hearing some stories. And Jonathan went to Armenia, has got some stuff to tell us about that.
Yeah, so a couple of weeks ago, I was in Armenia, me and a guy, James Nichols, who comes to this church, were helping out Steve and Sarah Trevitt, who used to worship here. And we were helping run a thing called a Fire Starters course, which is a course about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we were at the kind of midpoint, where we joined them in the midpoint, so they had done 5 weeks. And they had another 5 weeks to go. And it was just really amazing to be a part of something where these people, they were mostly Indian students, strangely enough, in Armenia, in Yerevan. It's one of the cheapest places in the world to study medicine. And so lots of Indian students end up there. And so Steve and Sarah's church is made up of a lot of Indian students. And These guys are just like really, really desperate for more of the Holy Spirit. And that's just so exciting to be a part of. And I told the staff team last week that it's so easy to be a worship leader when people are that kind of into it. And the moment I start, you know, I strum one chord and everyone's like, oh, yeah, you know, instantly. Just in the space of the few sessions that we did, we saw people being healed, both of kind of emotional stuff, but also physical healings. Two people became Christians, which was amazing in the church on Sunday. And yeah, just an increased hunger in them for more of the Holy Spirit. And so that inspired me, and I hope we can all kind of grab a bit of that hunger.
Great, thank you. I also asked if Kath told me something at the beginning of this series, and I thought it would be encouraging to hear, and there hasn't. Well, I haven't been at the front until now, so now is our chance. Thanks, Kath.
Right at the beginning of the Move series, I told Jenny about going with a friend to Waterloo Station, and I've just finished studying at the School of Supernatural Ministry, and one of the things we're encouraged to do there is to go out and give words of prophecy or words of encouragement to people. And I went with my friend Rochelle, and we approached lots of people. I had quite a few people saying, what are you trying to sell? Are you expecting money for this? So we went and said, we'd like to give you an encouraging word, is what we said, as we went and approached different people. A few people were open. Quite a few people from overseas were open. Not many British people. But I went over to a lady. I was really drawn to her. And she was standing with a whole lot of packages waiting for her train to come up on the platform. And I said, I'd like to give you an encouraging word. And she said, I don't want an encouraging word. And I said, I really feel you need an encouraging word. And she said, I'm really shy and I don't want to hear from you. And I said, well, I'm going to give you one anyway, which could have gone quite badly. But I said, I really feel God wants to say to you that he wants you to know how he loves, how you love other people and comfort them, but that he wants to comfort you. And this lady just burst into tears and said, this year I've lost my son, and I've lost my husband a few weeks ago. And I've been really strong for everybody else, but I'm not able to grieve myself because I have to be strong for my other children. And I said, could I pray for you? And she said, yes, you can. And she cried quite a lot, and we prayed together. And she said, I think I might go and see if I can find a church. And I thought, well, lots of people said no, but one person was touched. And just taking a step out and listening to what God has to say. So I said to my friend Rochelle at the end of the evening, well, one person's life has taken a path a bit closer to God. So it was worth doing it just for that.
Great. Yeah. Great. Thank you so much, Kath. Does anyone else have anything they want to share? Come on up.
Hi, I'm new to this church. My name is Mark and my wife Valerie is over there. We've been coming for the last few weeks. And on the 23rd, we went along to the meeting at the Peckham Citizens over at Rye Lane Chapel. And in the context of moving mountains, I thought that was very appropriate because we as a group of community were facing a rather large developer. And to some extent, when you're in that situation, you feel fairly powerless. And one of the things that really moved me about that meeting was the fact that as a community, we have power, we have a voice, and I felt a spirit moving there. It wasn't necessarily a Christian gathering, but I felt there was a definite sense that we were achieving something. So I was very encouraged by that, and I was also encouraged by the fact that as Peckham citizens, we behaved in a very responsible manner without necessarily being aggressive or shouting or anything like that. And the whole situation, as I said earlier, I think was, extremely encouraging, and I hope that there will be further developments in that regard.
Thanks, Mark. Thank you. Thanks. So mountains do move. Has anyone else got anything they'd like to share? If something comes to you later on, there'll be some more space later on in the service. I don't want to speak for very long today because I want to leave lots of space in the service for us to pray mountain-moving prayer, and I wanted to leave some space to hear some stories. And it's such an encouraging thing, isn't it? You know, Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, if you say to that mountain, move from here to there, it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. It's such an encouraging thing. It sits within a story that I can't quite ignore. I can't quite just quickly brush over because it's one of those stories that you read in the Bible that, for me, kind of narks me. It sort of irritates me, I'm going to be honest. So I'm going to read that and we'll talk about it for a little bit and then we're going to do some praying because I think that being irritated is okay. I think it's all right to be stirred by Scripture. So can I encourage you to turn to Matthew chapter 17. It's page on 984, and we'll enter into this story together. So I'm starting at verse 14, Matthew chapter 17. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed. From that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. So you might hear that story and think, oh, there's nothing to be irritated for there. You may be way ahead of me on this, but bear with me for a moment, because my honest gut response when I first hear Jesus speaking to this man in this way, the man comes to him and his son is really ill. He's having seizures, he's throwing himself into the fire and into the water. And he's prayed like crazy for healing and nothing's happened. And the disciples have done their best. And so it would make it a much easier story for me if Jesus would have said to them, oh, yeah, I'm so sorry. That's really tough for you. And I'm so sorry you're having such a hard time. And disciples, well done for trying. You've done your best. But leave it to me. You know, you're done with this family. I've got it from here. That would be nice. That would irritate me less. That would needle me less. Quite honestly, that would move me less. I think the gospel isn't a collection of nice, comfortable quotes and stories to make me feel cozy and comfortable. I think that the gospel, the story of God in human form, the story of Jesus Christ, is about pointing us to a relationship with a living God. That's at the center of our faith. God lives. Jesus lives. Death couldn't hold our Savior. Death couldn't hold our King. And the living, a relationship with a living God is not the same as a relationship with an idol. A relationship with an idol that we've carved ourselves, we can predict. You put the money in the slot, you get what you want out of it. That's not a relationship with a living God. A relationship with a living God isn't a relationship with a teddy bear where you get comfort that it doesn't speak back to you. A relationship with a living God is where you sometimes, in the depth of your need, in the depth of your brokenness, he brings healing. He casts the demon out. But sometimes he gives you a kick in the pants or a poke in the ribs or a tug in your guts to say, there's something about this that stirs me, that moves me. That is the relationship with a living God. That is the moving. That's the moving of mountains, which I think Jesus is about here. He's not just talking about the moving of the mountain of the healing that he's done. He heals him. He heals the boy. But he's talking about the bigger mountain of his kingdom coming. Because the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is an announcement. It's an announcement about the kingdom rule of God, the kingship of God over all the world. And kings care and provide for their people, but they also raise armies. And they raise armies to conquer enemy territory. So the image of Jesus as a king in the Bible is this image. It's the image of a king who is coming back to a land which was always his, but which has been taken over by enemy forces. And Jesus breaks in and wrenches back. And there is language of violence and seizing. There's a wrenching back of the spiritual realm that Jesus takes possession of the earth that was always his, that will always be his. So the king, Jesus, is calling us as an army to move mountains, and to move into enemy territory. And what I mean by that, it sounds like scary language, but what I mean by that is the fact that there are people having seizures today. There are people who don't have access to healthcare today. Healthcare is not adequately shared around the whole world. There is injustice today, and we are called to be moved. Jesus is calling us to be moved, and the gospel calls us to move into places of darkness and to enter them and seize back the territory that was always his. I met some people at a wedding a month or two ago, Christians who are researching a cure for Alzheimer's. So they pray over their work every day because they are desperate to find a cure for Alzheimer's. They pray for the scientific discoveries they're making every day because they want to conquer that. They want to move into that territory. They want to rescue people from that horrible disease. A few weeks ago, you might remember that Liz, who is a member of the community here, she is taking healthcare out to the Democratic Republic of Congo, who don't have access to good healthcare, moving out into places of struggle and darkness and difficulty to claim that territory back for the kingdom of God. So where we're moved, where we're stirred by the gospel to say, to feel irritated, to feel marked, to feel stirred, I think that's God's call, God's tug in our guts to take us into places where his kingdom is advancing. So where I read this and where I feel marked by it, maybe it's Jesus saying, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Will you move? Will you move into places of darkness and difficulty? We begin Advent today, and Advent is about light coming into darkness. Light, have we got a match for these the candles? We should light a candle. Yeah, great, yeah. Because Advent is about a light shining in the darkness. And today, on the first of Advent, we don't light the whole candle and that the whole Advent wreath. And in a way, that's symbolizing the fact that we know that light has come in Jesus, but we're praying and longing and waiting and crying out for the full coming of Jesus, for the coming again of Jesus, where he will come in majesty and the whole earth will be his. That's what Advent is about. Yeah, great. Yeah, this is This is a sign for us. This is a sign of where Jesus wants us to move. Jesus moves in the places of darkness and difficulty, and he calls us as his disciples to go there too. So how does he call us to be his army? How does he call us to go into those places? Well, Jesus has showed us how his kingship works. Jesus' power is displayed in giving himself up in sacrificial love. So as our King Jesus did, we're called to give ourselves up, to humble ourselves in prayer, to give ourselves over to him in prayer. So when he says to his disciples, have little faith, it's not that he's condemning them for a permanent condition of their hearts. If you receive that and think, oh, I wish I had more faith, he's not condemning you for a permanent condition of your hearts. He's inviting you to exercise your faith muscle, to grow it, to grow into a position of having more faith. And honestly, I think the only way of growing our faith is to practice it, to ask again and again, to listen again and again, to go again and again, to risk again and again, and to find God meeting us there. Last week, 12 people were baptized in our morning service, were baptized or reaffirmed their baptismal vows. And their stories were of God meeting them where they cried out to him. Where we do again and again call out to God, he meets us there. Because that's the extraordinary promise of Jesus in this story. If there's a challenge in it, there's an extraordinary promise in it as well. And the promise is, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. So Jesus, our King, our light, leads us forward into the dark and difficult places, part of his kingdom, declaring his kingship in these places. And his promise is that nothing will be impossible for you. What would you do if you woke up tomorrow and nothing was impossible for you? What would you pray now if nothing was impossible for you? Where would you go bearing the light of Christ if nothing was impossible for you? If you knew that at the depths of yourself? I hear that question for myself. I hear that call to have more faith. And as elsewhere in the gospel, a man comes to Jesus and says, I do believe, help my unbelief. And that's my prayer as well. I pray that my faith will be raised so that I will go into the dark and difficult places and bear the light of Christ. So we're going to spend some time praying, practicing faith. That's kind of what we thought we'd give the rest of this evening over to. But before we do that, I just wanted to kind of tell a bit of a story about what I think is a big mountain for me. So I live on a kind of mini estate not very far from here, and I kind of have a sort of a smiling hello relationship with a number of my neighbours. But I've been there for about 3 years, and it's never really, those relationships have never really gone beyond that. I would really like to know my neighbours more and maybe, you know, invite them along to church sometimes. And I pray for that periodically, and I have to admit, sometimes kind of sketchily about it. And the truth is, I don't really know how to make it happen. And I've said to people, the only way that I could get to know people on my estate is if I had a dog, because if you walk a dog, you get to know people as you walk around. I don't have a dog. Or if you are a child, or if you have a child, and I am not a child, and I do not have a child, so I don't use the playground very much. Or if I took up smoking, because people who hang around outside get to meet people, and I don't smoke. Or, frankly, if I had a different personality, because I'm not very naturally outgoing, so I find kind of getting to know you conversations quite tricky. Now, if you heard me tell that story just now, if you were listening carefully to what I just said, you might have just heard me describe a mountain. And the mountain looks a bit like this. It's a mountain with a big eye on it. Because if you heard me talk about my estate, it sounded a lot like, I don't have a dog. I am not a child. I don't smoke. I'm not very outgoing. So when I think about my estate and the fact that I'd really love to get to know my neighbours better, what's foremost in my mind? A big mountain called I. So the mountain that's getting in the way of my vision of what God might like to do on my estate is myself. My eyes are drawn to me again and again, my sinful self. So when Justin Welby came up the road to Camberwell a few months ago, I put flyers through all the doors on my estate. And as I did so, I prayed for the estate, and I prayed for God's blessing on the homes that I put flyers through. I prayed for the relationships, I prayed for health, just generally prayed for the flourishing of my neighbours. And I have to say, it was thoroughly enjoyable, and it was a really refreshing way of praying. So I don't know if it was my imagination or if it was just that I was noticing more, but I felt like the hellos got smilier since that moment. So I was encouraged, and I started to pray a bit more intentionally for my neighbours. And then more recently than that, and encouraged somewhat by this series, I started to get a bit more specific. And there have been some specific families and homes that I've been praying for. And the first thing I've prayed is to get to know people's names. So there are two homes I'm particularly praying. Well, there's one person whose name I already know, but there are two other people that I've been praying for whose names I want to get to know. And a few days after praying to know their names, I came home and one of the girls from one of the families I was praying for was sitting on the wall just outside my house. I thought, well, I'm allowed to ask her name if she's on my wall, right? That's okay. So I asked her name and told her mine, and she had a baby sister with her, so we had a little bit of a chat. And then I've been praying to get to know her parents a little bit more. And it turns out I've been getting to know her father, who runs a market stall in Vauxhall. So I've been chatting to him about that. I meet him on a Saturday night as he's packing up his van. And I've got ways of praying for this family a bit more specifically. And then there's another woman who I've been praying for. And again, I've been praying for about a week to get to know her name. And I came home from somewhere, and it was about midnight, and she was outside having a cigarette, because that's how you get to know people on the estate. And she stopped me and said, "Oh, are you a priest?" And I said, "I am, yeah." And she said, "Where's your church?" So I started to tell her, and she said, "I've been meaning to ask, because I'd quite like to come." I was like, great, yeah, and he come along. And I started telling her, and the guy that she was talking to was like, "Oh yeah, I know the one, it's just by the station." And they were having a chat entirely independent of me about where All Saints was and what was going on. "Do you get kids there?" Yeah, we get loads of kids there, come along anytime. So she hasn't been along yet, but I invited her along to the baptism service, and now I know her name. I asked her her name, I told her mine, so now I know her name. And I can invite her really freely to the rest of the services, knowing that she's expressed an active interest in coming along. So the mountain was myself. And when I got out of the way and just started praying for God to do what he was going to do, he started doing it. The mountain was myself. So in our prayers, we're going to start off with a prayer about ourselves, because I know that the biggest and most inconquerable mountain in my life is my sinful self. It's my selfishness. But God, in his extraordinary grace and his extraordinary mercy, can even move that mountain, can even move the mountains of ourselves that sometimes feel so rooted and so heavy and so solid. God can move that mountain. And to move our eyes away from ourselves and towards him is to find someone so much more alive and so much more dynamic, so much more unexpected than keeping our eyes fixed on ourselves.